That's a difficult one for us. So anyway, why do I want to write a book? I was feeling incontent with my life, okay? I teach middle school, and it's a wonderful job that I have. But it was a particularly rough day. They had off earlier today. They had off Friday today. I'm not quite sure why they called it fall holiday. Whatever they call it, I don't care. It was nice. But the day before a three-day weekend, the kids are antsy. And it just, you have a day like that, and it's like, what am I doing with my life? I'm fighting with kids all day long. And so I just had this inner turmoil, so I wanted to write my book and make $1 million and not have to go back to teaching there next year. So that's what it was all about. But the Lord said, pray. The Lord said, pray. Lay it down, Josh, and pray. James 3, verse 14. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, don't boast and don't lie against the truth. I had some selfish ambition there in my heart, right? That the Lord had to talk me through, and I eventually did. You know, I put it aside and I prayed, and I was so glad that I did. But this struggle is not just a little tiny Josh struggle that I'm talking about here. This is the human condition. This is the struggle since Adam and Eve. Genesis 3, verses 1 through 6. Now the serpent was more subtle than any animal of the field which the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Yes, has God said, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "Of the fruit of the trees of the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." The serpent said to the woman, "You won't surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and here I was imagining in my head, oh, that life of, you write this great book, who knows if it's greater, I've never written a book before, but who knows, in my mind, it's a great book, and it sells, and I don't have to go, oh, it's like that beautiful fruit, right? And that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit and ate it, and she gave some to her husband with her, and he ate it. What is the basis of our selfish ambition? What is the basis of our selfish ambition? It is a desire to undo the order of things. It is a desire to undo the fact that God is over us and that we should be submitted to him. It's a feeling of being less than content. It's a feeling of not liking something. And the way to fix it is not to be patient and to wait on the Lord and the way he does things. The way to fix it is to grab that fruit and bite into that fruit and do it ourselves, right? To take the bull by the horns and say, I'm not going to wait on God anymore. I've got to do this. My students were just so bad that day. I just got to write that book, Lord. Or who knows what's going on here with Adam and Eve? Right? Who knows what's going on? But something, they're less than content about it, and they're tired of doing it God's way. They want to undo the created order, just like you and I want to undo the created order, right? And we want to take the bull by the horns, and we want to do what? What are we not content about? Do we not see ourselves as beautiful? I'm not seeing myself as beautiful. I'm not going to find my beauty in you, Lord. I'm going to make myself look like a Hollywood model. Or I'm not going to find my beauty in you, Lord God. Instead, I'm just going to get depressed and eat more and more. Or what is it? I've got to make myself richer, okay? Or at least pay my bills. I can't tithe, Lord God, because I really want this or that. Or I don't trust you enough to do this or that, right? And so instead of doing things God's way, we hang on to that money and we do it our way, right? It could be anything. It could be, I'm a musician, right? And boy, I tell you what, you see this beautiful guitar. I get the Guitar Center sales catalogs in the mail. And April makes a joke that it's my my musician's porn or something like that. That it's, let me see what the centerfold is this week. Oh, look at that Gibson. So maybe I shouldn't have said it like that. I don't know. But anyway, it's our little joke. So I like to look at the guitars. They're so beautiful. You know, and sometimes we just latch our eyes onto that thing that we want, and we manipulate to get it. And I'm telling you, I've manipulated to get guitars before and then been sorry that I did it. Oh, I really missed the one I sold to get that one. I should have been patient and waited on the Lord. Now look, these seem like flippant little examples, but it's really a revelation of what's on the inner side, the inner heart of human beings, right? And it happens in bigger, more serious arenas as well. Sometimes people, a lot of times people, marry when they shouldn't get married. Because, you know, your friends are telling you, no, I don't think she's right for you. I don't think he's right for you. Your parents are telling you, I don't think so. But, oh, they're so beautiful. Or they just don't understand so-and-so. Or we'll work out all these issues. Yeah, I know we're fighting a lot now, but that's just because they want to get married. And once we're married, it's all going to... No. Slow down. What is God saying? Are you just grabbing that fruit? Or are you going to slow down and listen for the voice of the Lord and see what he's saying to you? This is the human condition since Adam and Eve, and it happens to up to today. Happens in believers, happens in unbelievers. We've got that inner drive to self-satisfy. That inner drive to self-satisfy. And it ruins lives. It ruins lives. People marry the wrong people. People buy the wrong guitar, God forbid. People, you know, it ruins lives. And what do we need to do? First of all, we need a humble assessment of ourselves. A humble assessment. We're not really that much in control. As much as we try to satisfy ourselves, it doesn't work. It works temporarily, and then, bam, we're right back to feeling miserable, probably more miserable than before. James 4, 13 through 16. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, let's go into this city and spend a year there and trade and get gain. Whereas you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow, for what is your life? For you are a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. For you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will both live and do this or that. But now you glory in your boasting. All such boasting is evil. What is one of the prayers we started out with today? The Shehecheyanu, right? Thank you, Lord, that you've allowed us to reach this time and this season, right? So instead of that gratitude, thank you, Lord, for keeping me alive. Lord God, may it be your will for such and so. Instead, it's no. We stop seeing ourselves as a human being, and we want to take charge, and we want to take God's place. And we are consumed with these selfish desires. We're consumed with ambitions. We're consumed with lust. We're consumed with fears that are not of the Lord. We are dissatisfied with our lives. We are ungrateful. And we are totally overestimating our own power to change our situation and make ourselves happy. We totally overestimate our ability to make ourselves happy. We can't do it. We try. And we end up even more miserable. You think the drug addict is happy? They think they've got all this freedom to go get the drugs, the alcoholic to go get that alcohol. That's going to make them happy. They're not happy. It doesn't make them happy. They still do it. Okay? But it's not, and it's the same thing with us. We just have to find the areas where we're doing it, right? And our dissatisfaction with our lives spills over to the people around us. James 4, 1 through 3. Where do wars and fightings among you come from? Don't they come from your pleasures that war in your members? You lust and don't have. You kill, covet, and can't obtain. You fight and make war, yet you don't have because you don't ask. You ask and don't receive because you ask amiss so that you may spend it for your pleasures. We complain, right? We're not content on the inside, and we complain about everybody else on the outside. It's my boss's fault. If my boss would just pay me what I'm worth, it's my spouse's fault. If they would just be as spiritual as I am, it's my children's fault. If they would just clean up the jelly off the counter when they're done. You know, it's always somebody's fault, and we end up grouchy on the outside, but really it's what's going on the inside that has got to be dealt with. It has got to be. We complain about our spiritual leaders and our political leaders. It's not Obama's fault, okay? It's not Rick Scott's fault, right? We are incontent on the inside. We are lustful. We are driven by selfish ambition. And this has got to be dealt with. It's got to be dealt with. Do you think that by grabbing a hold of what you really want, you're going to bring yourself happiness? Do you think that Adam and Eve created a better world by grabbing a hold of that fruit? Of course not. Of course not. Right? So we've got to let these things go. Do I think that if I would have ignored the voice of the Lord and instead of praying, I would have been writing that book? Do I think that that book would have done anybody a lick of good? Probably not. It probably would have done more harm than good because it's done in disobedience to the Lord. It is done in disobedience to the Lord. Meanwhile, while we're pursuing all these things, we start to notice a few things. We start to notice we're not praying like we used to pray. We're not in the Word of God the way we used to be in the Word of God. We're not always going to services, right? Not that you have to show up every week. Sometimes you need a rest. Sometimes you're sick. Fine. But you know, you start to realize, wait a second, my spiritual life's not what it used to be. Why is that? Why do I have to always hear that word, return to your first love, return to your first love? It's because we've been pulled aside by the forbidden fruit. And we've been pulled aside by the forbidden fruit because we don't know how to deal with what's going on the inside of us. We've got to learn how to deal with that. Today is Yom Kippur. One of the chapters that talks about Yom Kippur is Leviticus 16. I'm going to read Leviticus 16, verses 7 through 10, and then I'm going to jump down to verse 20 through 22. He, the high priest, shall take two goats and set them before the Lord at the tent of meeting. Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats. One lot is for the Lord, and the other lot for the scapegoat, or your translations may say Azazel, and there's all kinds of theories what that means. Probably just means the goat that's sent away, or the goat sent into the wilderness. But anyway, doesn't matter. The important thing is it's sent away. Verse 9, Aaron shall present the goat on which the lot fell for the Lord, and offer him for a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot fell for the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make atonement for him, to send him away for the scapegoat into the wilderness. Verse 20. When he has made an end of atoning for the holy place through the death of animals and the sprinkling of blood and the altar, he shall present the live goat. Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions, even all their sins, and he shall put them on the head of the goat and shall send him away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is in readiness. The goat shall carry all their iniquities on himself to a solitary land, and he shall let the goat go in the wilderness. And just like the sins of Israel were proclaimed on the goat sent into the wilderness, so were our sins placed on the perfect Lamb of God. Isaiah 53:6 prophesies this of the Messiah. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. right? That similar language there, that iniquity being put on the goat, that iniquity being put on the Messiah. Just as the goat sent into the wilderness carried our sins away from us forever, and it became the tradition to actually force the goat over a cliff to make sure it never returned. So does Messiah cast our sins far from us forever. Isaiah 53:11. By the knowledge of him shall my righteous servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities. 1 John 3:5. You know that he was revealed to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. We know this, right? Don't you know this? Right, if you grew up in a messianic synagogue and went to Shabbat school, or you grew up in a church and you went to Sunday school, even those new to the faith, you know that this is fundamental. Messiah died for my sins. I received the atonement of the Messiah. I am born again into the kingdom of God. We know all this. Why do we still struggle with all the stuff on the inside? Why are we still struggling with this? I think part of the reason is this. We don't dig deep enough when we talk about sins. When I say the word sin, think of some sins, right? What do we think of? Well, told a little lie today. I uttered a curse word today. I had thoughts I shouldn't have had. We think along those lines, and those are definitely sins. But what is at the root of it all? At the root of it all is a rebellious, unsubmitted spirit to the Lord God. Yes. At the root of it all is us wanting the fruit, because we might not say it out loud or think it consciously, but at the root of it all is us thinking we know better than God how to solve the inner stuff. And so we rebel against his way of doing stuff, and we take the fruit, right? We take the fruit, we eat the fruit, and it tastes pretty good in the mouth, but it's bitter in the stomach, right? And we end up feeling worse than we did. And so at the root of it all is rebellion. We are rebellious. And you say, well, hold on there, Rabbi. I'm not so rebellious. I haven't killed anybody, right? I go to synagogue. I how can you say I'm in rebellion? I haven't done anything real terrible. Look, every time you go against the created order of things, you've done something terrible, and I have done something terrible. We've got to be submitted to the Lord. We've got to be submitted to the Lord day in and day out. Matthew 16:24-25. Then Yeshua said to his Talmidim, his disciples, if any man desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever will lose his life for my sake will find it. Okay, imagine being in the Garden of Eden and saying, no, I don't want the fruit. Amen. Satan, you be gone. I'm not taking that fruit. Imagine the beauty. Imagine the experience, right? It feels good. When I put that desire to write the book aside and I got down on my knees before the Lord, it was right. That is right. That's how we get the inner stuff taken care of. Not the, I've got to find the right girl. Got to find the right girl to marry, the right guy to marry. I'm not going to be happy. No, how about, Lord God, let me be content in you. And then see who you bring to me, right? Lord God, I will write that book when you give me the time and the leading to do it. I'll do it in peace. I'm not going to do it out of my selfish ambition. I'm not. And we don't think about this stuff enough. We think about it, you know, okay, died to myself. Okay, receiving the atonement. I'm going to receive the atonement. We think about it the day we receive it. We think about it the day we go through the mikvah, the day we're immersed, the day we're baptized. Okay, dead to myself, alive in the Lord. Okay, it's Yom Kippur, let me think about it. We need to be thinking about this every day.
Amen.
Let him daily, you have to daily die to yourself.
Amen.
And say, you know what, Lord God, it's not about me pursuing my lusts. It's about me pursuing you.
Yes.
It's about me seeking your face, Lord God. It's about me understanding the created order that I know nothing and you know everything. And so, Lord God, let me submit to that. That makes sense. Doesn't that make sense? Yes. It makes sense. I wish somebody would tell my students the teacher should be in charge. That makes sense, right? We should have the same kind of relationship with God. He knows more. Let's submit to him. He knows what's good. He knows that tree's not good for us. Okay, let's submit to that. Let's submit to that. So we've got to do this day in and day out, and it can't happen if you are not in prayer. Yeah. It doesn't happen if you don't have a prayer life.
Right.
It really amazes me how many believers I talk to when I ask them, do you have a prayer life? And they'll say, well, I kind of pray as I go about doing this, or I pray as I'm going. No, okay, that's great. Yes, do that. But that's not enough. You need to stop everything else. Amen. And you need to get before the Lord,
right,
because you need to find out where you are in rebellion to him.
Right.
And if you're not doing that, it's because you know you're in rebellion and you don't want to hear it from them, perhaps.
Right.
Or maybe something else. I don't know. But you've got to stop your day. You've got to say, Lord, you are the most important thing in my life. I'm going to stop my day. I'm going to get into a quiet place, okay? And I've said it before, you know, when we were living in a small three-bedroom apartment and there was no such thing as a quiet place, I would go for a walk. You know, you find a quiet place and you get before the Lord and you stop pursuing this and you stop pursuing that and you say, Lord, and you listen. Right? And you listen. And you begin to understand that as the priest put his hands on that goat and confessed the iniquities onto that goat and then sent that goat away, so did the Lord lay upon the Messiah your sins and send it away so that it's never to return. See, you think, and I think, that the inner turmoil will be solved with the right job. The inner turmoil will be solved with the right person. The inner turmoil will be solved with the right whatever it is. No, it's a spiritual issue. And you have to interact with the fact that that sin and that inner turmoil and that rebellion has been placed on the Messiah and taken away to a place where it will never return. And you begin to feel that peace. I am forgiven in the Lord. I don't need the fruit. I don't need the fruit. I am forgiven in the Lord. I have the peace of God. What else do I need? I have the peace of God, the forgiveness of God. Do you want that? If you want that, of course you want that. You wouldn't be here if you didn't want that. We want that. We want the peace of God. You've got to pray. You've got to spend time with the Lord, interacting, allowing him to take that rebellious spirit out of you, put it on the Messiah, send it far away,
amen,
let it and be submitted to the Lord your God in love. And you won't want the forbidden fruit. It won't even look good to you anymore. After a while, it looks good. And sometimes it just takes self-discipline. I'm going to get on my knees because I know I have to, right? I don't care how you think you have to. The Bible tells you so. The rabbi tells you so. Whatever. You have to. But eventually, as you're in that habit of getting on your knees before the Lord, you start to see, you know what? That apple doesn't look so good compared to this other stuff the Lord is providing for me.
Amen.
Right?
Yes.
Amen.
It doesn't look so good anymore because I'm seeing clearly now I'm in the presence of the Lord.
Yes.
I'm not in rebellion. I'm not trying to please myself. I'm seeking the Lord rather than seeking after my lusts. And that is what we need. That is what we, not just on Yom Kippur, as we read through all these sins that we've committed, forgive us for this, forgive us for that, daily, daily, daily. Lord God Almighty, we thank you for Yeshua, our Messiah, who takes away the sins of the world. You took my sin on your back, Lord God. You were whipped and bruised for my peace, Lord God. And I thank you for taking what I deserved on yourself. And Lord God, I want the peace that comes from knowing that all that rebellion is gone. All that sin is gone. All that transgression is gone. It is never to return because his sacrifice is perfect. And that's all I need. That's all I need. I don't need the perfect house. I don't need the perfect car. I don't need the perfect this or that. I need you, Lord God. I need you, Lord God. And Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for rebellion. Forgive us for seeking after our own stuff, thinking that we can satisfy our lusts. And we get them satisfied, it lasts a little while, then it's gone, and we're worse than we were before. Lord, it's time to break that. It's time to break that. It's time to break the habits. It is time to break that mode of thinking. It's time to love the Lord, submit the Lord, seek after the Lord, be filled by the Lord, receive the peace of the Lord, and to do it day in and day out. And if he calls you to do it two or three times a day, you do it two or three times a day, because he is your God. He is in charge, and he wants what is best for you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach.